All right, the year was 1609, and it was a bone-chilling, cold winter day when the following order was given to all able-bodied men. Nearly all the men on that council that had elected this new president were now dead, and there was a need for a change. Countrymen, the long experience of our late miseries, I hope, is sufficient to persuade everyone to a present correction of himself. And think not that either my pains nor my investors' purses will ever maintain you in idleness and sloth. I speak not this to you all, for diverse of you I know deserve both honor and reward better than is yet here to be had. But the greater part must be more industrious or starve. However you have been heretofore tolerated by the authorities of the council from that I have often commanded you, you see now that power rests wholly in myself. You must obey this now for a law that he that will not work shall not eat, except by sickness or he be disabled. For the labors of 30 or 40 honest and industrious men shall not be consumed to maintain 150 idle loiterers. And though you presume the authority here is but a shadow, and that I dare not touch the lives of any but my own must answer it, the letters, patents, shall each week be read to you. Those contents will tell you the contrary. I would wish you, therefore, without contempt, seek to observe these orders set down, for there are now no more counselors to protect you nor curb my endeavors. Therefore, he that offends, let him assuredly expect his due judgment. Captain John Smith, President of Jamestown. You know the story, right? You know the story, right? You're familiar with American history well enough to know what I'm talking about, right? Well over 150 men chose not to work. They had expected that 30 or 40 would take care of the rest of them. The very council that elected John Smith in the summer, most of the men on the council that elected him had starved to death. And now only John Smith is alive as the leader of this colony, which is about ready to go under. It's on the brink of utter destruction. And at 28 years old, John Smith is the president of Jamestown. The president of Jamestown at 28 years old. And whether you caught it in his English, which is a little foreign to us, he was making sure these men knew that they would not be permitted to remain idle. They would not be permitted. Now, we have no idea if John Smith was a believer or not. But I will tell you, it sure sounds like he's read what Paul teaches us from the New Testament. Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. For John Smith is not the originator of this idea of no work, no eat. 2 Thessalonians, please. So we are in Thessalonica, and we have a problem in our church in Thessalonica. Some of us have decided in Thessalonica that we're going to chill out until the Lord comes back. We're going to chill out until the Lord comes back. And Paul has gotten wind of this idea that since we think the Lord's coming back any day now, we've stopped working. There is much idleness in our church in Thessalonica. We have become a church of busybodies, and Paul is not able to come visit us in person, so he sends us an epistle or in a letter. And if you'll follow along with me, beginning in verse number 6 of chapter number 3, we'll pick up in the middle of Paul's letter. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother and implied sister that, notice please, walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which you received of us. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for nothing, but wrought or worked with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you. This we commanded you. Look at the Bible verse with me in verse number 10. This we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Let's read that verse again one more time for those of you that are struggling with paying attention. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you. This we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are in fact what? Busybodies. Do you see it in your Bible? Busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. If any man obey not our word by this epistle or letter, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Let's pray. Father, help us to enjoy and be instructed and to be edified and to be equipped and to be fed from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul is identifying in this passage a major problem that America has right now. And Paul should be alive again. And if he was alive, I would say, vote for Paul for president. Vote for Paul for president. I would say, elect Paul for president. And his campaign slogan in America could easily be, you don't work, you don't eat. 300 years of American history was built on a Puritan work ethic that is gone, my dear students, gone, gone. Now what we have in America is a group or population or huge numbers of people who believe, Daniel, that because they have a pulse, they deserve money from the federal government. And they want a check being mailed to their box every single week. Last Sunday when I preached about 9/11, and if you are absent, I would encourage you to go on sermon audio and listen to that sermon, young people. If you attend another church and you are not able, I wish you'd connect. And I made a comment, just a brief comment, about this idea of not working and getting paid at the tail of my sermon. The reason I made that comment, Titus, is because the current jobs bill that's being presented to the House of Representatives and the Senate for an immediate passage includes a provision whereby 2 years of unemployment goes to 3 years, Keith, 2 plus 1. You're going to be able to sit at home for 3 years and not work and collect a paycheck if the current jobs bill goes through. Fortunately, it looks as though the Congress has some presence of mind and they're not going to pass this bill that would allow 12 more months of sitting at home doing nothing. So I made that brief comment on sermon audio, and by 9 o'clock Monday morning when I came in my office, there was an email in my box in which a dear lady on the western part of the state was thanking me for preaching the truth page, and she made reference to her husband, who was 46 years old and weighed 300 plus pounds. And as a 300-pound male was collecting disability on the federal dole because you can't work when you're, quote, 300-plus pounds. And she said, I work 6 days a week so that my husband can stay home 24 hours a day and play video games until, Ashley, 4 a.m. in the morning every day. And she said, what do I do, preacher? What do I do? And unfortunately, the reality is that some of you males could become that kind of guy in 30 years unless you're properly instructed in the Word of God and unless you understand that God expects you to work every single day of your life for the rest of your life. That is God's plan for you. So I want us to work through this text. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which we received of you. The scenario was that there were busybodies in the church of Thessalonica, and these were the guys that were playing video games, Xbox 360, until 4 o'clock in the morning, and then other people were hanging out with these people, and the first thing Paul says to them is you've got to stop these inner fellowships. You've got to stop these relationships. When there's somebody in the group that is walking disorderly, you don't hang out with them. You look at them and say, you know, I love you as a brother in Christ, but I can't be your friend right now because you're pulling me down with you. This is exactly what was going on in this scenario. Listen to me this morning. The other people were influencing them, and the number of busybodies was growing because you are influenced by who you hang out with. And when you graduate, there will be some of you that will go off to college. There will be others of you that will enlist in the military. There will be others of you that get good jobs. And then there will be, Mr. Adams, a small percentage, hopefully, of our graduates who do nothing. They don't get jobs. They mooch off of their parents. And they spend 19, 20, 21, 22 years old, that age gap right there, messing around, getting into trouble, finding themselves staying out late, drinking. They find themselves breaking into things. They find themselves playing video games until wee hours of the night, every night, sleeping until 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning, raiding mom and dad's refrigerator while they're at work all day. And then they come home, and the house is, and mom and dad are ready to throw the kid out, but they love their son or daughter. And unfortunately, males, most of the time it's boys, it's not girls. That's the truth of the matter is, most girls understand that these video games are childish and they've put away childish things. Verse 7. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Paul says, when we were together with you at Thessalonica, when we interacted with you, when we had a relationship with you, we tried in as much as possible when we were there was to provide for you a godly example. We wanted to provide for you a godly example. We do our very best as the adults that interact with you to provide for you a godly example. We want you to follow our godly example. Our godly example is not that we stay at home every single day, try to do the very least, throw together a sermon at midnight on Saturday, come into the pulpit with scraps of paper thrown together, and it looks like the preacher spent 20 minutes pulling together a message. That's not the example I'm trying to provide for you. The example I want to try to provide for you, and the example that Paul said we provided for you at Thessalonica when me and Luke and Barnabas and the other church planters were there with you, is you saw we were hard workers. We were hard workers. He's specifically calling to their attention the truth that when they were present with them at Thessalonica, he and his traveling companions, that they provided a good example. Verse number 8. Neither did we eat any man's bread for nothing, but wrought with labor, travel, night and day, that we might be chargeable to any of you. You know what I'm talking about. This is a guy who moves into your house, and he says, I only need a day or two, and a day or two turns into a week. I only need a week, and a week turns into a month. and he won't get a job, and you work hard, and you leave in the morning to go to your job, and you come home to this roommate that's only going to be there for a couple days, and the house is a wreck, the dishes are still in the sink, and everything's a mess, and you say to yourself, man, this bum is raiding the refrigerator that I put the food in there. He's not doing his what? Yeah. And he's a good friend, and you want to be a good friend to him, and so you start at first going, but then all of a sudden you begin to go, what's the matter here? Something's not right here. I pay the rent, I pay the electricity, I buy the groceries, and he eats the food. Come on. You say, well, I've never experienced that. You will in a couple of years, I promise you. You'll see it. You'll see it with your own eyes. We have in our society lost the Puritan work ethic. It's gone. The Puritan work ethic is gone. It's gone. Where'd it go? It went out with God. When we kicked God out, when we gave God the boot, you know what else went with God? Morality. And part of morality is, I'm a hard worker. That's part of morality. When we gave God the boot, when we gave the Bible the boot, when we gave prayer the boot, you know what went with it? Morality. And when morality left, you know what went with it? Hard work. Hard work went right out there. America is no longer known for a hard-working nation. Where's it made in? Where's it made in, students? Where's it made in if you buy it? Where's it made in? It's made in China. It's made in China. The days of hard-working Americans putting together great products that were awesome, built well, God-glorifying, God-edifying, are gone. You know what the American dream is today? The American dream is to take a buck, buy a lottery ticket, and win $1 million. That's the American dream. That's the new American dream. So that what? So that I don't have to work anymore for the rest of my life. That's the new American dream. I want to make it big so I don't have to work. That's not what built America, young people. That's not what built America. Verse 9 says, not because we had not power or right, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow. Turn back in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, please. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let me give you a first-class education on what Paul says about this idea of preachers getting paid. Verse 9, not because we had not power, but to make ourselves an example for you. When we were there, it would have been right for you to pay us for our services, but we made ourselves an example. As a minister of the gospel, Paul had previously stated that it is right for a minister of the gospel to be paid. He says it in chapter number 9 of 1 Corinthians. Am I not an apostle? Reading from verse 1 of chapter number 9 of the first letter to Corinthians. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you for a seal of my apostleship are you in the Lord. My answer is this to them that examine me. Have I not power to eat and to drink? Have I not power to lead about a sister, a wife, or other apostles? Just stay with me. We're working through this. Or am I only at Barnabas have nor we power to forbear working? Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Look at what it says right there. Verse 7, that's where I want you to focus. He asks a question. Who goes a warfare anytime at his own charges? What's he talking about there, warfare? Who are those people? What do we call those people? Soldiers. Who goes to war without getting paid? All right, next. Who plants a vineyard and eats not of the fruit of thereof? Who grows a garden and doesn't enjoy the tomatoes from his garden? Who raises a cow and doesn't enjoy the milk from the cow? Who has a bunch of pigs called? Herd? Herd of pigs. And doesn't enjoy bacon for breakfast. That's his idea. He's saying it's the due reward of your labor. Plant a garden and enjoy the fruit. Go to war and get paid. That's the idea. The vineyard idea is fruit, for example. Or who feeds a flock and eats not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or say I not the law of the same? Look at verse number 9. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treads out corn. Doth God take care of the oxen? Or sayeth it altogether for our sakes? He says nothing about an oxen. That's just an illustration to show you that you're supposed to take care of your preacher. And his point in this is that I came to you in Thessalonica, and you deserved, you should have paid me, but you didn't pay me because I wanted to provide for you an example. So how did Paul earn his living? Someone tell me, please. He made tents. He was a tent maker. Hard working job. Working with leather and cords and needles, putting together tents. And that's how he earned a living, with his two hands. And so verse number 11. If we've sown not to you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap unto you carnal things? If I pour into your life spiritual things, it is reasonable to expect that you pay me back. So now let's go back to our text and look at verse number 10, our key verse that I would like you to underline in your Bible and commit it to your memory when you are tempted to play another hour of stupid video games. Verse number 10. Going back to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3, Paul gave them a rule. A rule. Paul gave them a rule. Here's the rule. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you. This we commanded you. That if any would not work, neither should he eat. Do you understand that the reason the nation that you are getting ready to become an adult voting citizen in 2 years? Right? 16 plus 2 is 18, and 18 is the voting age. We worked through that. He is one of our honor students. All right? 2 years. How about you? 1 year or now? Now. Do you understand the reason your nation and my nation is trillions of dollars in debt? 14 trillion. Do you understand the reason we are $14 trillion in debt is because we pay people money to do nothing? That's why. We pay people to stay home and do nothing. We pay people to stay home and do nothing. We have determined that at 62, you can now stay home and do nothing. You don't need to work anymore at 62. And anytime someone says anything about raising the Social Security age, a cow is thrown. And the reason a cow is thrown out is because we booted God out. And when we booted God out, the work ethic went with it. The work ethic went in. I don't understand why you're not paying attention back here. The work ethic went in. The work ethic. Hard working people. Gone. $14 trillion, $14 trillion in debt, and the idea, this is how we're going to print more money, Sean, print more money, print the printing press. We are going to print the dollar to where it's not worth anything in your lifetime. We're going to print the dollar to where it's not worth anything, and it'll come a day where it'll cost $10 to buy a loaf of bread, because the dollar is not going to be worth anything. And you say, where'd you get that idea from? The book of Revelation. From the book of Revelation, it spells it out very clearly. The book of Revelation talks about a time where you go to get a loaf of bread and it costs you a week's salary because inflation is out of control. Do you understand how inflation gets out of control? You print money and print money and print money and print money and print money, and pretty soon the dollar isn't worth anything. You know why we're going to print more money? Because we're $14 trillion in debt. You know why we're $14 trillion in debt? Because half of the American population doesn't pay any taxes at all. Half of the American population doesn't pay any federal taxes at all. Imagine in this classroom, if we split this room right in half, students, and we said, you, all of you on this side, will pay for all of them everywhere they go. You will buy their clothes for them. You will pay their light bill. When they go out to dinner, you will pay their bill. Whatever they want, you will pay for it. That's where we're at in America. Just so you know. Just so you're clearly educated properly. You see, socialism is here. It's in America. Socialism is here. The highlight of socialism is, I will take from you and I will give to you. I will take from you and I will give to you. I don't care whether you haven't worked for it. I don't care whether you have contributed or not. We are going to give from this group, take from this group, and give to this group. It's happening right now in the American way of life. Right now. This is the world that you're going to vote in 2 years or 3 years or 4 years. And there's no indication we're going to change. There's no indication. We have completely forgotten about this. Here's a thought for you. Please listen. Nearly all lottery winners, small and large, file for bankruptcy within 5 years of winning the lottery. Nearly all lottery winners. Do you know why? Because they didn't work for the money. And when you don't work for the money, you don't manage it well. When you inherit $100,000, you blow it. When you work for $100,000, you wisely invest it. When you take a dollar bill and buy a stupid ticket that has numbers on it and you get lucky, so to speak, it's not really lucky, it's really the providence of God, because it ends up being judgment. They don't even realize it, but it ends up being judgment because they go out into the world, live like the world, and then they reap the consequences of living like the world when they go from being a millionaire to bankrupt in 5 years. That's why Christians should not support the lottery. That's why it is sinful for you to buy lottery tickets, because you are, in fact, encouraging that which is sinful. You are, in fact, burdening the lower class of society, because the wealthy don't buy lottery tickets. You know who buys lottery tickets? The 50% that don't pay taxes. That's who buys lottery tickets. Have you ever considered the idea that God works? Have you ever considered the idea that God is working right now? That God is working this very minute. That God is not chilling out. That God is not playing video games. That God is not sleeping until noon every single day. Do you know the number of times that the work of God is mentioned in the Bible? Do a search for the work of God, the work of God, the work of God, the work of God. God's work in creation. God's work in sustaining the universe. God's work in redeeming and saving souls. Do you understand that the Holy Spirit is working 24 hours a day globally? Do you understand that Christ is working 24 hours a day as your advocate on the right hand of the Father? That He doesn't take a break? That He doesn't chill out? Some of you think that the fall of man is what introduced work. That is not correct. That is an unbiblical theology. Adam was told to work in the garden, to dress the garden before he fell. Some of you might know this guy by the name of Andrew. Andrew, his first name, not what he goes by, is an American basketball player. Currently plays for the Indiana Pacers. He completed his college basketball career in North Carolina in 2009. Remember 2009? That was the year that UNC defeated Michigan State. What's his middle name? His middle name is Tyler. Tyler was the unanimous selection for the 2006, 2007, 2008, and 2009 Atlantic Coast Conference All-Conference Team. Tyler was the 2006 ACC Freshman of the Year. Tyler was the 2008 Player of the Year. Tyler's jersey was retired, number 50, on February 10th of 2010 during a Duke-North Carolina rivalry game. And when you talk to Coach Williams about Tyler, the single thing that Coach Williams talks about Tyler was, he was the hardest working player on the team. You know what we want? We want what Tyler has without working for what Tyler earned. That's what we want. We want all the glory without the hard work. We want the girls that Tyler has. We want the jersey. We want the money. But we don't want to work the way Tyler worked. Tyler was the hardest working guy on the squad. Tyler was known for his work ethic. His work ethic. I want to know, are any of our athletes known for their work ethic, in Brian? I want to know, are any, does the coach notice you as a hard working player? Are you going the distance on anything? Do you understand that playing sports can be an ultimate God glorifying event? Do you understand that you can go on that volleyball court and you can glorify God match after match after match? That you can glorify God in hard working on behavior abilities on a volleyball court, on a soccer field, on a basketball court, in a or on a baseball diamond? Do you understand that it is sinful for you to be a lazy player? It's sinful. It's not your choice. You are sinning when you're being a lazy player. When you are not rebounding as fast as you can, that is sin. We don't think of it that way. You know what we do? We put it in compartments, young people. We put it in compartments. We say, this is basketball. God doesn't care about basketball. And we say, we can act any way we want on the court as long as I don't say that bad word or that bad word. No, no. If you are not playing hard, you are sinning. Sinning. If you're not playing hard. Listen to me very closely, because you need to hear these words whether you agree or disagree. It is sinful for you to put more effort into winning a stupid video game than working with your hands. You need to take a hard look, young people, at how much time you're putting into video games compared to other things like training for the sport that you said you're going to play in. How is it that every single August we struggle with getting players in shape year after year after year? Why do we do that? Because players do nothing in June and July. That's why. It's sinful. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and the King James has labored more abundantly. That really doesn't resonate with us. So listen to the ESV rendering. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, listen to these exact words. I worked harder than any of them. I worked harder than any of them. Look at verse number 11, and we're wrapping it up as we march down the text. Verse 11. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Busybodies. Puritan Richard Baxter, 400 years ago, put it like this, approximately 400 years ago. It is swinish and sinful not to labor. Swinish and sinful not to labor. You say, Pastor, is there anything sinful about Facebook? No. But if you put more time on Facebook than you do other things, the answer is yes. You've taken what could be a good thing and turned it into a sinful thing. Busybodies, busybodies, always on Facebook, putting a new posting down, looking for what's new, putting a new posting, looking, downloading, uploading, always looking, always checking the Facebook status. That's a busybodies. Busybodies. USA Today, you're familiar with that newspaper, right? USA Today. USA reported September 13th, that's 3 days ago, reported that Angry Birds tops 350 million downloads. That's that stupid game where you take your index finger and go like that. stupid game. 350 million downloads. I was on an airplane a couple months ago, and a person to my right in the aisle across from me, like where Will's sitting right there, played Angry Birds for an hour and 15 minutes. Doing nothing. Nothing. You know what? 5 minutes of Angry Birds between a college class is probably not sinful. An hour of Angry Birds, whatever it is, birds, an hour of it is sinful. You can't play an hour of Angry Birds a day and it not be sinful. You can't. See, I don't have time to read my Bible. Of course you don't have time to read your Bible. You play a stupid video game with your finger. Do you not understand? Listen to me very closely. Do you not understand that these are devices of the devil designed to destroy America? Listen to me. These devices are making us a weak nation. They're making us slothful. They're making us idle. They're making us lazy. They're making us fat. They're making us overweight. We have diabetes problems. We have heart attack issues. All these things are setting the conditions for the destruction of America. All of them are. Young people, Matt, you can relate to this. 25 years ago, 30 years ago, nearly all young men would be able to shoot a firearm and have been hunting. Not today. The closest thing they come to shooting a firearm is taking a PS3 controller and playing a stupid virtual game. Right, Black Ops or some stupid game like that. We're laughing about it, but you will not be laughing when we're at war and there isn't an able-bodied men to go and save the nation like in World War I and World War II. We're laughing. We're laughing. But you will remember talking about this someday. Busybodies doing nothing. Angry Birds are killing the Puritan work ethic in America. Verse 12, and we'll wrap it up. Now then that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. And then verse 13. But be ye, brethren, not weary in well-doing. Listen to Colossians. Don't turn there. Just listen. Servants, obey them that have the master or the authority over you, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, knowing that whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Who's going to Sheets Memorial? Who's going? What'd you say? Did I say that wrong? Is that where we're going, Sheets? You run up and down that field heartily as unto the Lord. You take every single spike as unto the Lord. Every single serve as unto the Lord. Every single assist as unto the Lord. Every single pass as unto the Lord. Every single kick as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. Heartily. Why? Why would I do that? Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. God right now is accruing to your account reward. If you're a born-again believer. So now I give you these parting words as your pastor and as your friend and as a man who loves you dearly. Please listen. Nothing will distinguish you more as an adult worker in the future work class that you're going to join than these two things. And I'm done. Number one, are you a man or a lady or male or female of integrity. There are so many liars. There are so many cheats. There are so many thieves out there. That if you are unique, because Chris, you tell the truth, you show up in time, you give a fair day's labor for a fair day's wage, you will stand out among all your peers. And number two, if your boss notices, Heather, that you're a hard worker, if your boss notices that you're a hard worker, you will rise to the top in your occupation. Doesn't matter what you endeavor to do. If you get identified as a hard worker, it doesn't matter where. If we're talking about the military, if we're talking about Apple, if we're talking about college, if we're talking about on a basketball team, you know who gets the start? Hard workers get the start. Hard workers start the game. You say, why am I on the bench? Because you're not a hard worker. Hard workers start the game. The coach watches between the last game to the next game as to who gave him 100%. Who gave me 100% for the last 5 days? Who gave me 100%? If you're a person of integrity, and if you're a hard worker, you will, as a young person, rise above your peers every time. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I say all this because I love these young people, and they need to be instructed in the Word of God. I don't know what their preachers tell them on Sundays. I don't know how their mom and dad is raising them. So, dear God, I want to be a father and I want to be a preacher to everyone in this room to encourage them to the best of my ability as I'm trying to encourage my own son. You must be a man or woman of integrity. And number two, you must be a hard worker. That idleness is sin. Lord, Paul told us in Timothy that if any man will not take care of his family, he is worse than an infidel. What a strong statement. Dear God, I pray that the graduates of BBA are hard workers. In Jesus' name, amen.